Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. You know, I get more and more excited every week as we do this radio show. It's over a year now. Jim and I have had this show on the air, and the people that listen to it, the people that download the podcast, it's been amazing. But this newest series that we're doing is by Tom Haupt's, I think that's how you say his name, H-A-U-P-T's book, Time Out, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life. And when Tom sent me this book and I started going through it, I thought, oh my gosh, man, this is a book on network marketing. But here's what it's a book on. As I've dug into it, it's a book of change. It literally is a book that no matter what business you're in, but especially in network marketing, this book may be exactly what you've been looking for to help you break out of the old paradigm. Mark Victor Hansen, I'm not going to read the whole foreword in this book, but listen to what he wrote, because I think this is what set it up for me. I got out my 3x5 card so I could do a complete new journaling series on this. But he writes, "What sets Time Out apart from other personal development books is Tom's understanding of how the conscious and the subconscious minds work. As a result of his many years of experience as a facilitator in the human potential arena, he communicates with clarity and certainty. Tom's proven exercises and strategies are transformational and will help you create the results you desire in your life." I started reading that and I thought, man, this gives me a good place to start. But then I flipped the page to the preface, and here's what it says. "This book is written for every person with a dream to be successful, a dream to be happy and fulfilled, a dream for a better life, a dream to be the best servant to his or her higher power, a dream to have a significant life, a dream to make a world of difference." And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. He goes on to write, "I know with all the certainty in my heart that whatever you want in this world for yourself or others, you can have it, no doubt about it." And I thought, wow, what a way to launch, you know, because in the big picture of things, this truly is what it's all about. It's about fulfilling your dream. It's about helping you break through that paradigm. And it's like, that's pretty cool. And I'm wondering, why did he pick out halftime? But he used a scenario here, and I thought this was pretty cool when you think about it. How many times have we watched the Super Bowl? We've watched the superstar game during baseball. We've watched something, and at the halftime, the team may be down, but all of a sudden they come back out onto the field to win the game. And I thought, man, this book is great for that. How many of us are at our halftime? How many of us, no matter what our age is, we're saying to ourselves, man, I just want to do better. I want to be able to accomplish something. And in this first chapter, which he entitled, "Where Did You Get Your Game?", it rang true. I thought, man, now I've studied personal development, personal human side of things. When you look at just psychology as a whole, there's so much stuff you can learn about the human psyche. And when I went through some of my training in the military, we learned about the psychological makeup of other people. I've studied men and women who've been prisoners of war, so I know the mind is very creative. Having 6 children, I've had to learn a lot. But as I read through this, I thought, wow, man, everybody should do this. Listen to what he writes here. He says, "Talk to the average person on the street and ask him why he hasn't achieved all his goals yet. Whether the goals are related to a relationship, finances, career, physical health, faith, whatever." He said, "Here's what you'll hear. No one would give me a shot. I can't get credit. I can't get financing. I don't have time. I don't have enough money. I've had bad luck. The economy's in recession. I'm too young. I'm too old." I almost always some sort of victim story is what comes out. And I thought, man, isn't that true? I've heard that in network marketing. I'll ask a person, "How come you haven't achieved?" "Well, I'm not like this guy here. I'm not like that girl over there. I came from a different side of things." But then he goes on, he says, "And if you ask this same question to people like Bill Gates, George Soros, Oprah Winfrey, Rupert Murdoch, Phil Knight, what would their reason, what would they say? And here's what he said. They all look at obstacles as opportunities. They took personal responsibility for their results and practiced the habit of taking risks. Now, I think you need to practice the habit of strategic risks. And I think he's saying the same thing. See, folks, when you're willing to go out there and play the game, you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. That doesn't matter if you learn through them. That's the key. He goes on to write, and I tell you, Tom, he is so true. I mean, he just writes in normal, everyday sentences. Listen to this. If you believe a problem is insurmountable, then it is. If you believe you have to work hard for money, you will. If you believe that you're unlucky, you are. If you believe that you're not worth it, you're right. If you believe you don't matter, you don't. If you believe people cannot be trusted, they can't. If you believe you don't deserve happiness, you won't have it. If you think this is as good as it gets, then it is. And I thought, wow. See, we create what our reality is. That doesn't mean that there are not laws of the universe. It doesn't mean that God hasn't created certain consequences. All of that is so true. But if you study the mind, you start to realize that what you're thinking is usually what happens. It's how you perceive it. It's your worldview. It's what you see in life. This is very powerful here. Listen to this. Let's begin the halftime analysis by figuring out where you developed your thinking or belief system. Not just about yourself, but about the world around you. To do that, let's start at the beginning, looking at your relationship with mom and dad. I thought, wow, isn't that so true? Isn't that where it all starts? See, listen to this. This is powerful. Everything influenced. Mom and dad influenced your life. Things you saw on TV influenced your life. See, there's a difference in what happened in the 40s, 50s, and 60s compared to what happened in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now, this isn't in the book. I'm giving you stuff that I've studied. All of a sudden, mom wasn't at home anymore. All of a sudden, a lot of what you saw, a lot of what you believed wasn't there. All of a sudden, it wasn't dad's got to fulfill and work and mom's at home. All of a sudden, both parents had to work. All of a sudden, we had latchkey kids sitting around the house. All of a sudden, MTV came on to play. All of a sudden, all of the freedom was there. And all of a sudden, the perceptions, the worldviews that were created not just at school, not just with mom and dad, but through all these other influences. See, all the influences, that everything that influences your belief system and shapes who you are and how you think today actually came down from the unique expression of your family influence or the lack thereof of family influence. There was a great interview last night. A lot of you that have hung out with me for the last few years or you've read stuff that I've read know that I had a big organized crime. Had a big influence on my life just because of where we lived and jobs that my dad had, and the career choices I made early on in life. And last night there was a very unique and very powerful interview by John Gotti Jr. on TV, and his dad was known as the Teflon Don, and did run the world's largest organized crime family out of New York. And you could actually see the influence. I mean, as I'm reading Tom's book and I'm watching that interview, I'm thinking, man, that just rang home true, because everything that JR would say had to do with my dad was proud of me. I went from being just a street thug to being made in the family. See, even if the family influence isn't a personal family, it's still family. It can be a crew. It can be a clan. It can be a family. It can be a squad. It can be a platoon. It's still family influence. Statistics have shown, and Tom writes about this, that between the ages of birth and 18, 95% of the way we think, our opinions, our habits, our judgments, our prejudice, and the way we view life have already been hardwired into our minds. 95% of our current belief system was programmed by the time we became old enough to vote. Most of us never try to change that. That's why last week as we were watching the news, we saw 29 men now who gave their lives, three from the same family, trying to dig coal out of the ground so you and I could have electricity. The way they were brought up, it's what they believed in, it's what they did great, it's what their family tradition was, and it's where they stayed. See, Tom writes, the belief system is the reference point in our life. It's what we make our decisions from. It resides in our subconscious, and most of the time, we use it without even being aware. Folks, listen, the reason we do these radio shows is because we know there are books out there by men and women that if you will pick it up and you can go, look, it's called Time Out. You can, if you're on Radio for Your Mind, you can just click the link to Amazon. You can pick it up there. You can go buy it at the bookstore. I don't care where you buy it. You need to buy Tom's book if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want to change your life. I cannot, in 5 days, go through this book that has over 259 pages in it. But I'm going to give you enough that you'll realize you need to buy this book. Tom writes in here, look in the mirror and ask yourself, have I ever said anything to a friend, a spouse, my child, or my colleague that sounded like it was coming out of my mom and dad's mouth? Have you ever mimicked an actual physical trait of a parent, such as standing or sitting a certain way, walking in a certain manner that resembles your mom and dad? Do you ever repeat a saying once spoken by a parent or somebody close to you? Most of the time we do. Every now and then, Paige will say, man, you sound like your dad. Now, let me tell you something. I hate that with a passion. I have never said to her, you act like your mom. And here's the reason why. I wasn't happy growing up as a child. I saw the violence. I saw the anger. I saw the angstness. I've seen that drive my dad to having strokes. My little brother and I talk about this. I had an experience 2 weeks ago, and the written words of an individual and the spoken words on my phone caused me to have a flashback to the way my dad would treat me in certain situation. And I had to go and really focus deep in myself and let that go. See, this is why Tom's book, I don't believe in happen chance. I believe that every time I pick up a book and say, Jimmy, this is what I'm going to do this week, it's because I need it. And as I was reading through Tom's book, I thought, holy smokes, what a great deal. Because I wanted to make sure as I raised my kids, as I grew up, that I did not do it the way my mom and dad did. Most of us don't do this. Most of us don't dig deep enough. Most of us settle for the mediocrity of life. Listen to what Tom writes in here. Most of our fundamental beliefs are connected to how we perceive, interpret, and judge the world at large. For instance, does a person wear bright clothes because they're fun to wear, or does the person wear them because he wants to be noticed? When you see people with a lot of stuff, driving a Lamborghini, wearing Rolex, living a huge home, wearing cool clothes, are you automatically happy for them, or do you comment and question how they got their money? When someone sits on the first pew of the church, are they doing so to be closer to God, or just so everybody else will see them? When you see a stressed out person walking along the street, looking ragged and tired, a little dirty, you automatically think they must be a bum or homeless. If you ever notice someone severely overweight, do you assume that they're really just unhappy? Think about that for a second, folks. You know, I can tell you what, I grew up in the Midwest. In the winter time, all the girls wore big jeans and big coats and sweaters and all that. And then come summertime, off it came into the short shorts, the halter tops, all that stuff. And depending on what a girl would wear, you'd hear people making derogatory comments. Nowadays, I live at the beach. Trying to find a girl that's got any clothes on sometimes is ridiculous. Because they're always in shorts, they're always in halter tops. But you know what? It's the norm. And all of a sudden, people aren't talking about it. And I got to admit, people come here for vacation and they wreck their cars because they're paying attention to the little stud guys that are on the beach, you know, surfing and doing their stuff. But it becomes normal. See, our paradigm has shifted based on where we live. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some stuff you just shouldn't wear in public. There's some people that shouldn't wear bikinis in public. There's some boys that shouldn't wear those Speedos. But that just happens. But overall, I started to realize things. And as I started getting back into Tom's book when he sent it to me, it's like, gosh, this is so true. Listen to this. The meaning of what we see is a reflection of our own personal life experiences and filters, and it's often based on what we absorbed from mom and dad. We wonder why we're not succeeding. Let's look at our father and mother. Did our dad use an excuse every time he failed and went to do something else? Did our mom do that? That's a question you've got to ask yourself. See, we have to find out. Dig deep. Maybe this. Listen to this. This is good here. Gosh, we're not going to get through all this, but this is so powerful. Maybe as a young child you observed when mom and dad argued, mom was louder and more aggressive, and dad often succumbed while mom got her way. Actually, in our house, it was the other way around, except they both could yell real bad. And usually, if mom got the worst end of it, then one of us kids did. You may have translated that into meaning that being loud and confrontational meant that you were more likely to win arguments. You want to know what I found out? And this was so unique as you grow up. See, in our family, the louder you got, when you yelled back and forth at each other, it wasn't a sign of weakness. It wasn't a sign of confrontation per se. It was a sign of respect. If you weren't yelling back at the individual, then you didn't respect them. Kind of strange, I know, but that's the way it was. Paige's family was just the opposite. If you yelled at people, you didn't respect them. Can you just imagine what our first 5 years of marriage was like? One day she finally got fed up, threw a cup at me. It missed my nose, hit the wall, and from that point forward, I realized I should learn to communicate with her on her level, not trying to get her to get mad at me, because, man, my mom had never thrown anything at my dad. So you make some, you learn some stuff. Or one of these, I mean, this is great. Listen to what Tom writes. In reality, these beliefs of yours are neither right or wrong, true or false, good or bad. They are simply stories you made up along the way based on the experiences and events in your life. It is a perception and will be different from the perceptions of others. Perception is based not on the factual event, but on your judgment of the event, what you make it to mean. This is why two different people can participate in the exact same event and yet have two different stories. Here's a great example of that. If you just look at the Bible from its historical content, in the book of Joshua, you see where Moses sent 10 spies into the promised land. And they were kicking butt. They were looking at, or 12 spies. They were doing it all. All of a sudden, 10 of them got back. They got back before the other two, and Moses said, "What's up?" And they said, "Dude, there are giant people over there. I mean, they got walled cities. They are like, I mean, they're like the United States is going to be in the 21st century. They got warheads. They got weapons. They got the best military. They got drones. They got it all. We can't do nothing. It sucks." Last two spies come cruising in. Moses says, "What do you guys think?" Joshua doesn't even hesitate. He says, "Oh, Moses, no problem whatsoever. With a God our size, we can kick butt. We can wipe them out. Matter of fact, we'll probably be able to do a lot of this and still have those cities, still have the weapons, still have the gold, the silver. There's no, those giants, they ain't no big deal. We can do this." See the perception. Everybody went into the same thing. Perception. That's why you've got to look at that. Got to figure that out. So here's a test. Write this down. I thought this was good. I thought, holy moly, we got 10 minutes left, so I'm going to go through this. Listen, I just want you to write down these sentences, they're just going to be a blank at the end of it, and you're going to put in what you think. First one, wealthy people are. Just write the first thing that comes to your mind. loud people are. And you can go back and listen to this in the archives. Politicians are. That was a good one. Women are. Men are. Poor people are. Salesmen are. Lawyers are. Americans are. Lazy people are. Now I'm gonna dig home on this one. Southern people are. Black people are. I'm not trying to be politically correct. You're gonna dig deep on this one. This is important. Fat people are. Mexicans are. Latinos are. Here you go. Network marketers are. You're writing down the answers to those questions. Well, what was the first thing that came to mind? See, that's going to tell you where you're at. That's going to let you dig a little deeper. Tom goes on and he writes, my stepdad, Jack Haynes, always would say, take a job, big or small, do it well or not at all. He said, that phrase sticks to my head to this day. It means whatever I decide to undertake or participate in, to do it with excellence. He said, my biological father, Fred, used a simple phrase, never give up on your goals and dreams no matter what. If you believe, and this is great, if you believe in your heart in what you're doing and know it to be the right thing, then go after it and never give up. I love that. See, this is so important, folks. Listen to this stuff. This isn't Troy Dooley saying this. This is written in the book. I mean, obviously I say some things too, but this is written in this book. You need to pick this book up, Time Out. Winning strategies for playing the bigger game of life. But listen to me, if you're not going to draw in it like I have, if you're not going to write it down and take ownership of some of it, don't go buy it because you're not going to change. You've just become totally happy with where you're at. You love being the victim. You're just going to be there. That's your life. Enjoy it. But understand you don't need to go buy the book because you're not going to change. See, listen to this. The fact is life is made up of a series of experiences. He calls them events. In the moment of these experiences, the events themselves are neither good or bad, right or wrong. They are merely events. However, we are not programmed to merely witness the events with emotionalist objectivity. Oh, this is great. Listen to what he writes here. Our minds need to give each of these events meaning that helps define who we are and how life works. I'll never be good enough. Daydreaming is bad, or school is hard. That becomes our story. And in order to be comfortable with our stories about who we are and how life works, we continually create experiences that support these beliefs. I thought, dadgum, isn't that the truth? We are in constant cycle of evidence that matches and confirms what we really believe in to be true, so that we can be right with our beliefs. Listen, I grew up probably one of the most angry individuals that you would ever meet. I knew I just couldn't get into a fight. I knew that there were going to be people that could beat me up. I knew that if I wasn't careful, I'd get my butt kicked. But I was angry. As an outlet for that anger, I would find causes that I could fight for. Where if I got into a physical confrontation, not only, didn't matter if I won or lose, pain is not an object. That's just a given. But I knew that I would not be disciplined in a negative light because I was taking up for an underdog. And I would go out of my way in school to find guys or girls that I could hang around, knowing that sooner or later somebody would make fun of them, would say something, and then I could get into a confrontation. I could let that anger out. That was one of the reasons I joined the Marine Corps. It was one of the reasons that I became a bounty hunter. Is because then I could let that anger out. I could carry a gun. I could smack people. It did not matter. I could shoot. and I was in the right. Folks, you know what awakening it was the day I figured that out? But most of us spend a lifetime absorbing the beliefs, our opinions, and our judgments from the way we grew up. We keep telling ourselves stories around the events in our lives so that we can create a belief system that we consider to be truths about ourselves and the world. Here's the cool thing, and this is what we're going to be covering in this book. This is the awesomest stuff here. We're going to cover in this book how it's not written in stone. You don't have to put up with this. You don't have to accept it. One of the beliefs that I grew up with was the fact that family is always right no matter what. And as I grew up my own family with my own kids, I soon found out, you know what, family is always right as long as they're not breaking the law, as long as they're not harming other people, as long as they're not using their power in a negative way, that means that family's okay. I realized that women were not just an object of an instant gratification. That women were to be loved, they were to be nurtured, they were to be treated with respect and with an equalness, second to none. I realized that it wasn't the scheming that made great businessmen, but it was the fact that they had something they believed in and they went for it and they created and changed the world. I soon found out as I grew up that rich people didn't get their money from a lot of illegal ways, hurting other people. But in most cases, they got it by helping other people. I learned that network marketing was not a pyramid scheme for lazy people to get rich quick, but it was a way to let people, the average ordinary person that didn't have credit, that didn't get born on the right side of the street, that didn't have a college education, that didn't have financing, it was a way for them to start in business for themselves and to grow personally and in some cases go on and build a great network marketing business and in other cases go on and succeed in their career in a way that they may not have. See, this is what you've got to understand. I remember in school having teachers that said, Troy, you can do anything that you set your mind to. We already see that. I remember sitting around as my mom would read a story that said, knock out the T and you can be whatever you want to be. I remember saying, I always want my daughters to be proud of me and to love me and not to fear me. I want my boys to follow their own path in life, but I want to give them enough values that they have a head start. I remember changing my paradigm and realizing it's okay if my wife makes more money than me, if my wife is more famous than me, if my wife is more successful than me, as long as at night she's proud of me and I haven't embarrassed her. Folks, this book is one of the rockin'est books that you can pick up if you truly want to change your life. Time Out by Tom Haupt, Haupt, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life. Tomorrow we're going to start on your personal playbook. And in this chapter, I'm going to read an interview by B.K. Brieco and Tom. It's powerful. It's something that I think we can all sink our teeth into. We've had a lot of training, and we cover a lot of stuff every week on this radio show. We can't cover it all. I mean, this book, I'm going to tell you right now, when I look at the front of it, and I know we've got a little bit, we've got 19 chapters, but one of the things that Jim and I are doing are we're just going to start collapsing things and taking these books in weekly shots because Jim works on, you know, some mornings and afternoons teaching our pilots to fly and protecting them at war, and he's got some books he wants to cover. So we're going to break these down. I'm only going to have, you know, 5 days this week to cover 19 chapters. I'm not going to get it all in. You got to buy the book. But, folks, tomorrow morning, Radio for Your Mind, gosh, go out there today, buy this book, start the process of changing your life, and do this for me. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you at the top. Bye now.